Hey everybody, it's Jerry. Hey, you know what's great about rechargeable batteries? Nothing. You're going to notice that the podcast ends a bit abruptly. We apologize for that, but it wouldn't be the MPP without some technical difficulties.
Start it up, because this will be a great thing to talk about, because Trump was supposed to do the right thing and abide by the results of the election, and now that it didn't go that way, the way... You don't, liberals wanted it.
Don't even bring that up.
Why not?
You've been
Rob?
Surfing the clickbait.
No, I haven't. I've been listening to the news. Rob.
I read the same thing. Oh,
no, you didn't.
There's one last.
You did not.
I read a thing that said the people in the Electoral College can do a passive dick move or whatever it was called.
It's called the liberal maneuver.
Some kind of thing.
All right, let's start because this is going to be good.
And I was like, who's putting that out there?
The greatest.
No, this episode is going to be huge.
Sometimes, but he does that a little bit, and then he just does.
This episode is going to be huge.
All right. Put him down.
You guys ready? Here we go. This week, we watched the Lamb open the seventh seal. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace.
To remind
Process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Welcome now. To episode 90. Now. Today is November 11th, 2016. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy, and we won, baby.
This is Rob. We lost.
Let me start by saying happy Veterans Day to all our veterans out there. And there are still quite a few people who appreciate the veterans and everything that they do. So
one
that,
on this podcast.
That's a good thing. Yes, that's
Cheers,
right.
Cheers, baby.
Raise a beer.
Semper Fi.
As always, our break music is provided by the Polish Ambassador.
Woo! Is he still around? Is the new stuff? Or the year old?
Right, new album just dropped like a month ago.
Awesome.
So let me start by saying when we started this show, it was a weekly podcast. Then after about 2 years of that, we went to monthly and started meeting at bars. And, you know, that was a lot more fun. Now apparently we've gone to a yearly schedule. But we have to say welcome back, Jeremy.
Thank
Jeremy
you.
Went on hey. Walkabout for the last 9 months. But he is back. And we're getting the band back together, like, man.
Yeah, he's on Rumspringa.
That's
back
right.
Back to the farm.
So even though we haven't been recording the show, we have continued posting stuff to the Reading Room on our website. And we've continued polluting the feeds of all our friends on Twitter and Facebook. That hasn't stopped. But now the real question, did we miss anything over the past 12 months? Has anything important happened?
Nope.
Nah, not really.
Slow.
Oh, one thing, Jerry published his debut novel,
hey.
All Lesser Means, now available in the Kindle store, link in the show notes.
I stomped on your title, it's called All Lesser Means.
That's right. It is a...
Search it on Google.
Yes, it is a compelling tale of technological breakthroughs and political upheaval.
Of nonfiction, huh?
It's a story about a guy who pretends to be a Republican to get elected president and then shows his true colors.
Whoa.
That could never happen.
Yeah, it's also a story about a guy who goes to work and starts getting messages from the future, and they try to convince him to overthrow the government. So, if you got a Kindle, go out there and check that out. All right, my shameless plug is over now.
Pick it up. I've read it. It's
so
good.
Don't be so hard on yourself. That wasn't shameless.
So, the main event...
Rob lied. That's the main event.
Yes.
So what do you think happened? Jerry, we'll go. I'll hit you first.
Let's
I'm taking
with Rob's lie.
No.
Let's start with Rob's grand lie. See, he's already disavowing that he lied.
Rob forgets that he promised he was not going to vote for Hillary.
I'm not even sure it was a promise. It was more like a vow.
It was a vow. Yes.
And so that will segue well into how this all happened. This being the greatest upset in the history of politics.
I'll go with that. Yes, I do have to say I went back on my vow to not vote
for
Hillary.
So let's start with the vow.
The vow said that I would not vote for Hillary Clinton. It didn't say that I'd vote for the Republican candidate or any particular party.
Right, and this vow was made before anybody was the nominee.
Exactly.
So we'll say that.
Yeah, a long time ago. I remember
when it still seemed impossible that Trump was going to win the nomination.
So give me some credit.
Except that I told you it was going to happen and you didn't believe me, but that's fine.
That is true. Jeremy called it. I called Scott Walker, and
he was the first one out.
Right, but Scott who?
Big dumb engineer Jeremy, but that's fine.
Hey,
guys, do you want more beer? Another round?
Yeah, I'll have another Benny.
Thanks. Yes, and
I would like the meat lovers flatbread, please.
I'm good. Thank you. That was Megan, our server.
So back to the vow. You said,
I feel like I'm under examination.
Definitely
here.
Not vote for Hillary Clinton.
That was the vow.
I vow that I will not do that. I might not necessarily
right.
vote
I,
for
I,
the Republican
it, yeah.
or blah, blah, blah.
We recapped.
But I will not vote. And then we saw the cracks in the armor about, 4 months ago?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I may have to. I don't know if I can hold
well,
on
should
to
I
that
explain
promise.
Myself?
No, because it's all malarkey anyway, because you made a vow and then you didn't adhere
it is.
To it.
It is. I completely
and
agree.
It's meaningless, so go ahead.
Allow me to give my reasons. So at the time of the vow, I could not predict. I could not predict the Trump presidency as well as Jeremy could.
Couldn't predict that the Antichrist right. would be one of the candidates.
And I do feel bad for going back on my vow, but I
oh, you feel bad. Oh,
let me talk.
Liberal
let me
heart,
talk.
Your little like, liberal heart.
You're a little excited from
turning
the,
black.
From your rump springer. Take it easy. So the reason that I've justified it to myself, which I barely could justify it to myself, is that I didn't vote for her for any single policy point, political point, party point. None of that is what drove my decision. And I think if the policies were reversed, I would make the same sort of choice. The thing that drove me to not to make the vote is because I feel that our president-elect, down to his core being, is an a-hole. I think he's a fundamental a-hole. I could say that on the podcast. I could probably say worse. And so it has nothing to do with policies on immigration. It doesn't have anything to do with small government, libertarian principles, Obamacare. That doesn't even figure into it. I feel like I had to do whatever my little small pebble of sand vote is to try to prevent an a-hole. That's pretty much it. So I did renege on my vow, but those are the reasons.
Well, okay, so you could have voted against Trump without voting for Hillary.
Some say. With a Johnson or a Stein?
I'm not saying they were good options. There were no good options.
You could have had a write-in candidate. A friend of mine she voted her conscience and wrote in Bernie Sanders.
The vote was a block Trump vote. So I had to do whatever I thought was the best chance to block Trump. It had nothing to do with the fact who was actually under the bubble. Do you understand? Is that hard to understand?
I understand your words, but the fact remains, thank you, that you lied.
I did. I did. All right. So the election. So what do you think occurred? How would you sum it up? So we've heard a lot of different things and a lot of garbage things. So what do you think it was?
So I have a couple of points to make, but I'll start off by saying I think I think there were a lot of people who voted for Trump and were embarrassed to admit it.
Well, wait.
Well, go on.
So some may be embarrassed, but a lot of people didn't want to because if you admitted that, people were getting attacked. And not sure. Just verbally,
yeah.
But physically harmed.
Sure.
Or there was vandalism of their homes or cars or whatever. Oh, Rob, that's no big
deal.
No,
I want to hear his whole explanation.
Fine, go ahead.
Well, I'm not gonna say I know what percentage of people out there fall into that category, but I'm just saying there were people that, you know, if they were asked in a poll, for instance, who they were going to vote for, they may not have answered that question truthfully.
Okay.
So I think that led to some skewed data.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that's the only contributing factor, but I think that was a factor. I think it's interesting how badly the media called this one. That, you know, it has been demonstrated now that we can't trust the mainstream media for their analysis or, you know, the pundits' opinions on any election going forward, in my opinion. I'm not sure we ever could, but this just seemed to be, you know, glaring evidence that they are not good at doing that. There are just too many variables. I would also say that, you know, the Libertarian Party should just shutter their doors and disband, because if you could not capitalize on this situation and get, you know, a real candidate out there who could, you know, compete against a Republican and a Democrat, both of which whose disapproval ratings were in the 50 to 60 range, you're not a real party. So just give it up, right? You've been trying for 45 years now. Just shut it down.
It almost seems like they're just playing at it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not, it
right.
Seems serious.
I mean, Johnson was not a serious candidate.
Right.
There's no way.
And I don't know how many people that were so frustrated with both candidates that said, you know, it might have been their first time they were looking at the Libertarian Party.
Right.
And they were like, so who is it this time? And they would look in and be like, oh my God, this is all I got,
right.
You know?
Look at this clown.
Right.
There's no way I'm voting for him.
He did pull, what, 3% or something?
3 or 4%,
that's,
yeah.
Is that any... That seems about on par with every other election, right?
Yeah.
But
I mean,
so if there was ever a time to do better than normal...
I don't think Libertarian Party has ever done better than that, frankly.
Yeah, it's probably because he was just the next name after the first two that nobody liked. So.
Right. It's not like... I don't think Stein pulled much away from...
No.
From
no.
The, you know, I think they were...
Not even 1%.
Right.
Yeah.
But not only that, I mean, I don't think they... They were both third party, but they don't think they weren't really even closely aligned, I don't think. Yeah.
So those are my thoughts.
I don't discount either of those, but I've listening to a lot of the talk the last couple of weeks, it was interesting to me how much the media discounted the I'm afraid to admit for whatever reason that I'm voting for Trump factor in the polls. And when most polls were showing such a narrow margin of a lead by Clinton, why they would just write that off as, well, she's still going to win because these polls are accurate. And that couldn't possibly be 2% or 3%. Well, maybe it was.
Clearly they were wrong.
All right. I think I'll go ahead and, other than your Libertarian point, I'll dispute both of your both of what you said there.
Okay,
go ahead.
Before you start that,
yep.
I wanted to ask Jeremy, because we talked a little bit about this, I don't know, maybe a month ago. I assume you voted for Donald Trump. You don't have to admit
sanctity, that. To quote our standing president, that's the beauty of the sanctity of the vote. You know, just by voting, it makes you a citizen.
But he also said, like in the subnotes, that if you're on a podcast, you have to say who you voted for.
So,
right. Yes.
Presuming
I almost punched through the screen. I pressed that so hard to make sure that it didn't change it.
Now, did you vote for him because you thought he was an excellent candidate or because you had to vote Republican?
No, I don't vote Republican
So you really thought he was the best candidate?
Yes.
All right.
That's not the question I would ask.
I'm a little disappointed in your answer.
Hold on. That's fine. Hold on. Let me.
I want to ask you a different.
Keep telling me. Hold, let me
I just want to ask you a little different question. So not was he the best candidate, but was it were you mostly motivated pro Trump or anti Hillary?
Pro Trump.
That's good.
Two things. One, I don't think he's. You use the word excellent, and I think that's overstating my feelings for him as a candidate. I voted for him because even though it's started to lose, what's the word for it? It fell into the background that he was not part of the establishment.
What do you mean by that? It was
well, initially it was during.
Yeah, during the primaries.
The primaries.
That he was an outsider.
Who's this guy? He's an outsider. What?
Right.
That was great to me.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
I agree.
I loved that. And then as it became clear that he was going to be the nominee, they had to try to bring him into the fold, and he, to be a viable candidate, sort of had to work himself into the fold. So they started treating him, including the media, started treating him like he was part of the establishment in the context of the way they talked about him. Now,
well,
he was
the Republican
equivalent.
Nominee.
Say that again?
He was the Republican nominee of one of the two major parties. I mean, that's pretty established.
So you've already missed the point of what I'm saying.
Tell me.
I'm trying, but how? Okay, just because he gets nominated as their guy, it's not like he's new money to put it in terms of socioeconomic things. He's not the old guard.
Right.
So they don't, it's like, okay, well, I guess we'll let him in the country club, but I'm not going to sit with him at lunch, kind of a thing.
Okay.
So they had to bring him in, even though he was not, the relationships were not warm with the rest of the party.
Right.
But as time went on, that little piece of information and that idea seemed to fade away, but that was still one of the pieces that I liked about him as a candidate.
Right.
He is, no matter how this election turned out, he's not one of them.
And I completely agree with you. And, you know, I watched him during the primaries, watched the debates with some amusement, the fact that he was able to operate outside the conventional system.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm a big fan of operating outside
of
the system.
Course.
So when you say
so I admire that part of him, but he made too many comments, too many, you know, gaffes.
I agree.
Called them gaffes, but I don't believe they were gaffes. I think that's how he really feels.
Oh yeah.
And you know, all of that overshadowed the fact that he was anti-establishment in my view. So.
I agree with the comments. I even said this on our last few podcasts that I wish he would figure it out a little bit better and get rid of some of the malarkey that he was spewing and focus on. They kept using the term being more presidential. Well, I don't even really like to put it in that context.
I don't need him to be presidential.
Yeah, just be a
professional. But I need him to be not a racist and, you know,
okay,
not
so
a bigot and not a misogynist.
Not a racist and he's not a bigot.
And
I'm tired of those labels.
Well,
really, I don't sign up to those labels.
I don't know how you announce your candidacy and in the same breath call everybody that immigrates here from Mexico rapists.
Don't
and
even try to use that. He did not call everybody who immigrates here.
No, he said some of them are good people.
I remember some of them.
Yes, I have the quote right here if you want to review it. So he didn't
call
everybody.
I heard the quote.
Okay, well then why did you say he called everybody?
How is that not racist? To generalize like that and call all the people who come here from Mexico rapists.
You are not listening to what I said, Jerry. He did not call all people who come here from Mexico rapists. If
you're right.
You think that...
He said some of them are good people.
Yes. Okay, so that's not all. He didn't call all of them rapists. He didn't call all of them rapists.
But the assumption is that he knows.
So has one...
How does he know?
Has more than one committed... More than one raped somebody.
Yes.
Okay. So then that's more. That's at least two.
So he's going to indict the entire.
No, you're
country
already,
or the entire ethnicity
or an entire.
I mean,
religion?
That's the way it came across,
no,
Jeremy.
No, it's not.
He did not communicate his point well.
You're right. He didn't. But he did not call all of them rapists. Here, let me find... Go ahead and talk amongst yourselves while I find this, because I knew this was going to come up, and I specifically printed out his quote, and there is a link here.
Go ahead, find it.
From a certain person who said, I don't like him, but we need to stop using this argument because it's not accurate.
All right, I want to set the groundwork, because we know we're going to get into all of this. So do you find? I mean, he just beat one of the political dynasties of our time, right?
I mean,
with you, some could say backings of the media. Some could say backings of an entire one of our two major parties. And a household name, somebody who's been in politics for 30 years, and he beat her. I feel like we need to decide one way or the other. Is this guy a political genius for doing all of that, or did he just bungle into it? I mean, it's a pretty major task, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Republicans have tried and unseating the Clintons for 30 years, and this guy did it.
Is he
a genius, or is he an idiot?
I would stop short of calling him a genius, but there's no way he stumbled into it, right?
You don't...
He's savvy. There's no question about that.
Okay.
And he has good people around him. Good as in good at what they do.
Okay. Fair enough. I'll agree. I think anybody who does what he's done, I think we have to take him where what he's saying and what he's doing is understood and calculated and has a purpose. I would like to set that foundation. I don't believe the argument... What I can't stand is like, well, he's not a polished politician. That's self-serving, and it discounts the fact that I think he knows exactly what he's doing. So as we go through the topics or the things that he said throughout his campaign, you know, I mean, we could just pick one. We could pick the Mexican one, pick the Muslim one, pick the McCain one. Just pick one. I think we have to level set that we think that this guy, he's not just blumbering words out of his mouth. Everything he says has a purpose and a meaning to it. And I think that's how he got elected. I'll tip my hat and give him credit for it, but I'm not gonna say he just made a gaffe or oops, he's not a polished politician. I think it's very calculated.
I'm not sure it's as calculated. I will say I used to be on that train that he was going to be. His strategy was locked in. He was going to turn it upside down as far as how you go about running a campaign, and it's going to be more polished, and they're not going to know what hit them. He's going to have a strategy, and he's going to blow it out of the water. He didn't do that.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't blow it out of the water.
He didn't?
Not during the campaign.
He destroyed 13 other RNC candidates and a political dynasty.
Yeah, but it wasn't known going in that he was going to do that. And I thought it would be. I thought it would be like he starts running away with this thing in August.
I guess I don't understand.
He would have it so scripted and the strategy so locked in that the polls would start tipping and the Clinton machine would be shitting. Excuse me. Sorry, Jerry. Delete that. Would be soiling their pantsuit
because they would have polished it up and they would have gotten in line and done the presidential thing and been so amazing.
Yes, I thought they would have. Now they did outmaneuver, but I thought it would have been well polished, and it did not come across as a well polished.
I think, and again, we're less than a week out, but I think the other way. I think everything that he did was all lined up for this end. I don't think those things are gaffes. I don't think sending the tweets out are oopsies. I think all of those things were meant to bolster support. They're not little blurbs that I'm not a polished politician. I think that was his candidacy. And I don't think it was like, oh, I made a mistake.
I think he was talking to an audience.
Exactly.
A very specific audience.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so if we can wordsmith the Mexican quote, if you, I feel like we have
this
to
is
now
not
if
a
you print it
smith.
Out.
This is
no,
a,
go
this
ahead.
This is a direct quote. So this is what I found on Salon.com, which I don't know the pedigree of that, but given this article, it seemed like a non-supporter and a liberal saying,
Salon's pretty liberal.
We need to stop using this argument because it's not accurate.
All right, go ahead.
Here's, let me read. The headline, well, you don't need to know the title, but...
I should say...
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do, because it's important. So, loosen my red tie here. The media needs to stop telling this lie about Donald Trump. I'm a Sanders supporter and value honesty. That was the essentially the title of the article. Apparently, this dude's a professor. In one of my courses at the University of Texas at Austin, I asked my students, what has Donald Trump said that you found most offensive? One student raised her hand high, quote, he said that all Mexicans are rapists, end quote. I asked a coworker the same question. He replied, quote, he said that all Mexican immigrants are rapists, end quote. I explained that Trump said no such thing. This is what Trump said. You want me to read the whole quote?
Yes, I'm more into the quote than the article.
Quote, when do we beat Mexico at the border? They're laughing at us, at our stupidity, dot, dot, dot. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. Thank you.
Sorry, got to take a break for pizza.
They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us, which that's kind of a weird thing to say, but whatever. Okay, that wasn't part of the quote. That was my interjection. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people. But I speak to border guards, and they tell us what we're getting. End quote.
Who, what do you think I mean they're sending? Who's the they and who's doing the sending? Is it the Mexican government sending it to the U.S. to undermine our government? Who's doing the sending?
I don't know who's doing the sending, Rob.
I don't think
I've
it matters.
I've not been at the border. I do know that our own Department of Agriculture, for whatever reason it falls in this department, advertises the benefits they can get. They, I mean Latin America, not just Mexico, because it's more than Mexico. Mexico has even talked about building their own wall.
Right.
On the southern border. So, if Mexico says they need a wall, there's a problem here.
Yeah.
Let's not act like there's no issue. That is intellectually dishonest to say we don't have a problem.
Okay, so first of all, the I think the words are carefully chosen. I think there's something about they're sending something, that there's somebody that's like there's hordes coming over the wall that we've never seen before, that there's illegal immigration is way up, that illegal immigrants are staying more than they've ever have, and we have this unique problem right now. 2016, we have a huge problem with floods of dangerous illegal immigrants coming over the border. And I don't think that's borne out by the stats. And I
don't.
I know. And maybe
you think
I'll put something in the reading.
Immigration has been happening for 20 years, 30 years.
I think I don't think it's a unique 2016 problem.
Question.
I think
please answer my question.
I don't think it's a 2016 problem. It's not a 2016 problem, and no other candidate talked about it. No other candidate is saying, oh, we, oh my God, we were fighting ISIS, but now in 2015 we were worried about Al Qaeda, but now 2016 we got to worry about these illegal immigrants coming from Mexico. It wasn't a top issue in any part of the government, and it wasn't because that nobody was worried.
That's
about.
That's the problem. It wasn't a top issue for our government, but it's an issue for the people.
I'll agree with you. The whole reason of the Trump presidency is he's speaking to people's fears and gaining support that way. And that's what makes him a racist. That's what makes him throw out this alarm bell that's paints people with this broad brush. My favorite quote, to pivot off this quote, we can get back to your quote if you want. My favorite quote is when he says, "We need to put a ban on all Muslim immigration into this country." What he should have said, and what any reasonable person would have said, is say, "Hey, we got a hotbed of terrorism in this part of the Middle East. Call it the Levant. We have ISIS. We have a Syrian breakdown. We have a refugee crisis. And people that come from that area, we need to make sure we're doing special vetting in there."
That's what we need to
worry about. But that's not what he said. He didn't say we got to worry about people from this area of the Middle East. He said all Muslims.
Right.
There's people in Singapore that are Muslims. There's people from all around the world that are Muslims.
So the point is
it wasn't about like, oh, he made a slip up and he forgot to say Levant. The point is to send out that message that there's too many other people showing up, and those other people are not like you, and they're showing up in your communities.
So my question is, did he say it because he really believes it himself in his heart, or did he say it because he knew it would resonate with the people he knew he needed to reach?
I'll say both, or there's no way for us to tell.
So I will say he said that generalization because that is the easiest way to reach the people he needed to reach. Because in his 100-day plan, first 100 days plan, one of the proposals, where'd it go? There's so many things he's going to do in 100 days. It's hard.
Can't wait.
Here it is. Suspend immigration from, quote, terror-prone, end quote, regions of the world.
So why didn't he say that in the speech, Rob? That didn't take that. Was he pressed for time? That didn't take that long to say.
Well,
but that doesn't speak to the people he's trying to build support for. People aren't worried about terror-prone regions. They're worried about Muslims. There's a certain amount of the electorate that he was trying to fire up and fire up support for.
I don't think it's a mistake. The liberals don't talk to a specific portion of their electorate.
Let me ask you this. Is calling all those people Muslims, is that accurate? Is it lazy
to say all terrorists are Muslim, but in our experience, that has been the majority.
No, he didn't say anything about terrorism. He said we need to ban all Muslims. That includes people from the Philippines. That includes people from Indonesia.
He didn't just say that just because he doesn't like Muslims. He was talking in the context of security.
And that goes back to what I level set. I don't think he just forgot to say people from terror-prone regions. I don't think he just simply forgot that phrase. I think it was super well calculated to say exactly that so that he can get his message across, because people don't want to think about terror-prone regions. People don't want to talk about the Levant.
Well,
because once you talk Syria, the Levant's losing people.
Specific people don't want to.
You're right. And I do have to stop.
Specific people don't want to worry about terror-prone regions because, I mean, I'm going to generalize here and say they couldn't even point to those regions on a map.
Right, the people we're talking about.
And you know, I recognize that me just saying that was probably offensive to a lot
sure.
of people.
See?
But it's the same kind of offensive as saying we gotta, you know, ban all Muslims from coming into the country.
Yeah. Right.
It's the same kind of generalization.
Okay. Right?
And some people view that as racist.
Okay, some people do.
Myself included.
Okay.
And me as well.
But you don't.
I don't, because Muslim isn't a race. One, that's not racist.
All right, well,
whatever you want to call it, it's
at least bigoted.
Right, let's go with bigot. All right. Fine.
He's a bigot. He runs multi-million-dollar companies, and he's a bigot. And he refuses to...
We don't know what he really thinks. I will give you that. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think anybody really knows.
And I won't pretend to know.
So
but he ran a bigoted campaign, and he bet on that approach. And it wasn't by accident.
And the saddest part for everybody that's, you know, watching it and you know, crying about it, which I don't understand. I would never cry about the outcome of an election, but whatever. Those people are sad because they've realized, oh, my God, there are a lot of bigots in this country.
Right.
And they all voted for him.
It's a reflection of who we are.
That right. is lazy also.
You think?
It's not all. Yeah. I mean,
okay.
It's not
well,
all.
Let's and pick it, that apart a little bit then.
So there are bigots and racists on both sides.
No,
and
no question.
Why don't you go read some of those emails that were released where some people in the DNC, I don't remember who specifically who, but it was pretty high up, referred to Middle Easterners as sand N-worders. And that got zero coverage in the press.
Do you think Hillary ran a bigoted campaign or a racist campaign or hints of racism or bigotry or misogyny or anti-male hatred?
Here's what I don't like about Hillary's campaign.
Well, there's lots to not like about it. Go ahead.
Here's one thing I don't like about Hillary's campaign. If you don't vote for her, you're sexist.
I don't believe that.
That's what was presented.
I don't think so.
Oh my gosh. So Obama specifically said that. He said, if you're not voting for her, look within yourself. Is it because of sexism?
Fair enough. Maybe it is, maybe it's not.
Disagree with her? If I disagree with some of Trump's policies, I'm a bigot, I'm a racist, I'm a sexist.
I hear that strain from the right, and I extend my lefty laurel branch of peace that like all I don't think that at all. You're bringing
this generalization to this side, but you say, well, I don't want to generalize, and I reject that, but you put all this other stuff on this side.
I hear what you're saying, and I remember in the 2008 and 2012 cycles, if you didn't like Obama, you were racist.
Yes.
I remember that, and I think if you didn't vote for Hillary, you were sexist. I heard that, too.
Yes.
Right.
But that is not the same as saying if you support Trump, you're bigoted, you're a misogynist. It's not the same because the underlying assumptions are different, right?
I don't know. I need more because I've heard if you support Trump, you are these things.
Yeah. And I think by what he has said and what he has done, there is evidence to support that, right?
I will say,
is no evidence when somebody says, oh, I don't agree with Obama or I don't agree with Hillary, that by itself is not enough evidence to convict that person of being a racist or a sexist.
Right. Fair enough.
That is not enough. But the things that Donald has said and done are enough, in my mind, to convict him.
And I won't say that I don't like the idea that everybody who voted for Trump is a racist or a bigot or a misogynist. I don't know. What I'll say is that we're all willing to overlook some things, right? I mean, none of these candidates are perfect, and certain things come out, and we're willing to overlook it. I punched the bubble, and we can go through the laundry list of like outrageous Hillary things, like mishandling classified information. I hit that bubble. That means I was somehow willing to overlook the fact that she did that, right? We're all willing to overlook something. I think for the people that swung this, you know, it's really, it turns out, what, it's 6 million people that basically was the margin between Obama in 2008 and this election. 6 million people. I think that whatever was in that margin was people that were willing to just, like completely agree that all this stuff was terrible, but it's not that bad. And I think that's, and to answer my own question, which I asked Jeremy about like an hour ago, like what do I think happened in the election is I think Hillary was a terrible candidate that ran a pretty awful campaign and couldn't bring in the Obama-type numbers that were there from 2008 and 2012. She had less in those years, and the McCain and the Romney numbers were about the same as Trump. So even if you saw those kind of, those all weren't the same people. It's really the problem. There were a lot of people that voted Obama in 2012. A lot of counties, there's some stat, but there was like 270 counties that voted Obama twice and Trump this election. Is that Trump being great, or is that Hillary being terrible? I think it's Hillary being terrible. So that's to me, there's two parts. That's the big half, is Hillary's awfulness, and the other half of that, that is the biggest surprise to me, is how much people were willing to overlook, accept things that in previous elections would have been non-starters for candidates. You know, I think of Howard Dean and his scream. Of course, he lost that Iowa caucus, and he was going down anyway. But you know, some in the conventional wisdom, like, oh, he made a funny scream, and that disqualified him in New Hampshire because he made a funny scream. That's not really true, but that wasn't that long ago, right? When the funny scream was disqualifying, this guy went, I mean, far beyond anything we've ever seen, and people were kind of like, man, that is terrible. That's all right with me. Punch the button. And that was the biggest surprise to me, of how many people, especially in the evangelical community, because that's my own little, like, you know, fight, is all the evangelicals that follow W to the death, because, I mean, that's a good man right there. I mean, I think he's a family man. He's got strong faith. I think he loves his country, and that really fired up evangelicals.
And he's pro-life.
Well, don't forget that. Right, and he's pro-life. So this many years later, you have none of that. Absolutely, I mean, even the absolute reverse, except for maybe pro-life. But
pro-life was enough.
We're not really sure about Trump, because he's been, in the past, he's kind of wavered on that. So that's the big surprise, is those evangelicals didn't say a big finger, like, I can't vote Hillary, I can't vote this guy because he's an absolute chump, I'm going to stay home. They were like, good enough for me. So I think it's the two things. It's Hillary was terrible, and how many people were just willing to, I say willing to overlook. I mean, we can talk about all the quotes. I think there's some stat out there that talks about how many people, there's something like, it's like 60% of voters dislike Trump and still voted for him. I think that's kind of unprecedented. So it's those two things. I think she ran a campaign saying, this guy's unfit for office. Look at all of these things historically that would out of hand disqualify him. You're going to make fun of John McCain because he was chump enough to get captured. Like, that's enough to get you out. That was a reasonable assumption. Everything flipped. And they were like, yeah, he said that about McCain. He's a chump. It's okay. I'm all right with it. Right. Padoom.
And that was he could have shot somebody on Fifth Avenue, and he wouldn't have lost any votes. Right, exactly.
So those are the two things.
Him saying those wild things that were very targeted. I don't know who he was targeting with that, because I didn't like that comment. I don't know why he said it. So that's why I say not everything he said was this targeted.
What is targeted to? And I watched like 20 minutes of a documentary, so now I'm like an expert. I think from his core, he believes that there's winners and there's losers. And you have to do whatever it takes to be a winner. And when you lose, you call it a win. And if you get captured, you're a loser. If you don't get captured, you're a winner. It's his core appeal is winners and losers. And yeah. I think Obama's, in my mind, my liberal mind, I think Obama's trying to navigate these difficult waters, and it's making him look in Trump's eyes and certain portion of the electorate like a loser. He's like, look at this guy. He doesn't know what he's doing. You know, like, that's part of the core appeal. It's not a political appeal. It's an appeal that I like winners. I'm a winner. I'm a billionaire. Look at my plane. I put my name on it. Look at my hotel. I put my name on it. Look at my steak. I put my name on it. Yeah. I'm a winner. McCain's a loser. And you like winners. It was that plank of the Trump platform.
It all smacks of, you know, locker room culture and frat boys, and I mean, really, that's all Trump is,
right? And, I think so,
and I think he was. So I feel like he was speaking to the entire population of high school bullies that live in the United States now, right? They are no longer big man on campus, right? Because they didn't go anywhere with their lives, right? They didn't achieve anything. But they see one of their own up there on TV talking to them, saying, "We got to control our borders, and we got to bring jobs back, and we got to make America great again." You know, yeah. It's all very high school to me, and that's what his whole campaign felt like to me. It was one high school bully talking to all the other high school bullies. And oh my God, there are a lot of them out there because they all voted for him.
And there's a and we have a culture. We've bred a culture where it's not okay to be a high school bully. Like,
right.
We're not bullying anymore. It's not what we do.
But suddenly, you know? Here's a guy that says it is okay to be a bully.
Right, right. High
and
five.
Take your rightful place among right. You know the nations right. Of the world right. And be a bully.
And yeah, I feel like we always have to caveat. You know, it's like. It's not the whole electorate. I mean, look at the votes. I mean, Hillary won the popular vote.
Right.
Look at how it all worked out. I mean, there's not that much of a swing, but that's all you have to do is swing the states. You know. So I mean, we're not talking about the Jeremys of the world. I don't think Jeremy's a high school bully. I think he was in the marching band. He might have bullied like the flute captain once
yeah.
or twice.
The guys from the chess club.
Oh no, I love chess. Even though Rob. I don't like it very much when he plays chess during our podcast, but.
Which he hasn't done so far tonight.
It's coming. It's coming in the second segment.
Tell me why you were talking about women and the percentages, and if you believe these percentages, as we all know, the exit polls were screwed up.
I don't think they were screwed
why
up.
Why did Hillary only pull 54%?
That goes. I think that completely goes to plank one of my two plank. Reason, my two-part reason for sucking was Hillary was not a good candidate. I don't think she did much to speak to anyone.
She had the Clinton stink on her. She's had it on her for 25 years.
Okay, so,
and you know, the whole email gate thing didn't do anything
yeah.
to make that better.
I don't think it's the Clinton stink. To me, what I don't like about Hillary was, especially in 2008, This is my own personal feeling about her. It's like we were done with Clinton in 2000, and then we had the two W years. And I felt in 2008 she came out like Oprah. She's like, "And I'm here. You guys love me, right? You know, it's like my turn." And thank God we had Obama to be like, you know, take it easy a little bit, you know. And the Democratic electorate in that primary is like, "Yeah, I'm not so sure about this," you know. And sure enough, Obama wins and beat her in the primary in 2012. She shows up in 2016. She's like, "And I'm here." You know, like, it's almost like just by her pure power of being who she is, like, it's
right.
just enough.
So it's,
and then she struggles against Bernie, right? She can barely beat Bernie. And then she's like.
Yeah, they had to rig that one.
Easy there.
And why? Then, it's proven. Don't give me that easy there. Let's not go confusing the issue with facts. As Rob always likes to.
Well, that's a whole separate topic. She was gonna beat Bernie no matter what, right? Because
I don't know that
Bernie's an outsider, and Bernie was not an Obama. Bernie did not have.
He's an outsider, and who in this election would have? What kind of outsider would have had a chance in this election?
Bernie didn't have the mojo to beat Hillary. I don't. Think.
I believe that's true, but I also agree with your point. I think he would have really done a lot better if the playing field had been level.
Yes.
And I would have loved to have seen a Sanders-Trump contest because that really would have blown some stuff up, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, the left wing would have gone even way, way farther
right.
left, right? This would not have been a moderate field battle. It would have been extreme field battle.
Well, and maybe some of the Trump voters would have been happier with a Sanders than a Hillary.
That's possible.
I think that's completely true.
Right.
But, oh, my God, where would we be if Sanders were president-elect today?
Yeah, I'm not.
What?
I like.
Well, you wouldn't be having any riots, or they'd be rioting because they won.
That could be. But I'm just talking about.
Right, you were talking about
envisioning
the
4 years
sees.
Of a socialist in the White House,
right? Right.
Well, we've already had eight, so what's the difference?
Hey, ding, ring the bell.
All right, on that note, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will continue talking about the election. So stay with us. We're back. We have a couple more topics to cover here. We're going to let Jeremy kick things off, though, with, I don't know, you probably have some stuff to cover that we haven't already talked about.
I printed out 4 pages of notes.
All right, so, well, go for it, man.
I did some preparation. Not sure it's as much as Rob.
It's all prepared. In here. It's all in the mind, like Mozart. It's a symphony.
I would like to start off with a Bernie Sanders quote.
Okay.
So, last couple of days, Bernie came out and said, a quote, Donald Trump tapped into the anger of a declining middle class that is sick and tired of establishment economics, establishment politics, and the establishment media. People are tired of working longer hours for lower wages, of seeing decent-paying jobs go to China and other low-wage countries. Rob thinks that's racist. Of billionaires not paying any federal income taxes and of not... not being able to afford a college education for their kids, all while the very rich become much richer. So then he goes on about, you know, if Trump wants to do something about this, I'm on board. If he wants to walk back some other stuff, I'm not on board. But
just a point.
I'm good. Thank you.
The point is, again, it's a fight against the establishment. But it also seems like he's kind of taking a shot at Trump here when he talks about billionaires and rich getting richer. But that's a side note. Rob seems to think, well, Jerry, too, this was all about racism and bigotry and sexism. But you have Bernie Sanders here saying that it's not, that it's about these things. And maybe Bernie was just angling for a spot in Trump's government, but I don't think so. And I don't buy into, I really get tired of hearing how it's automatically sexist, racist, bigoted. Trump has proposed things that shows he wants to, especially in his first 100 days, get rid of some of the minutiae, the corruption-style things in our government.
And as an anti-establishment candidate, I'm 100% behind him. So, I mean, the things that he's proposing for, you know, tearing down the government as it stands, I'm totally on board with that.
One of my favorites, and this will go nowhere, I'm certain of it, but he's proposing that for every new federal regulation passed, you have to remove 2 other regulations. I love that. It's like, fine, we can do this, but we got to find 2 to get rid of.
Yeah. I'd be on board with that, too. I mean, coming back to what Rob said at the top of the show, I just wish he wasn't such an a-hole.
Right.
Because I could get behind a lot of what he's...
You can print that out and attribute it to Marco Rubio, and we could talk about it. And we could discuss it, and we could talk about whether we need a 2-to-1 regulation dropout. The 2-to-1 regulation issue that you raised in his 100-point plan is not the campaign he ran.
It's not a 100-point, it's a 100-day plan, but that's fine.
Well, whatever. That's not the campaign he ran. And it was specifically the campaign he ran.
So you said that it doesn't matter what they say in the campaign. That is a Robism from way back. You said it. Oh, it doesn't matter what they say. They're just saying stuff, and then they get elected, and then they do whatever.
Right.
Right. And then you always say right. Like, so you go down some other road.
No, you have to figure out. There's lots of things. Look at what Donald Trump said 2 days. Look at what Donald Trump said 2 days before he won and 2 days after. 2 days before he won, he basically thought Obama was a Kenyan Kenyan non-American citizen. He wasn't even valid to be president. Go through the tweets about all this crap he said about Obama not even being a good president. He wasn't even allowed to be a president. Now, 2 days later, oh, I'm so happy to talk to you, Mr. President. I really value your time. That's what we're talking about. There's campaigns and there's...
Since you brought it up, let's talk about what Barack Obama said about Hillary Clinton in 2008 compared to what he said about Hillary Clinton in 2016.
Sure.
Why don't you bring that up, Rob?
That's
You're right. It's the same thing.
Okay. So throw everything
what,
they say.
What goes on in campaigns stays in campaigns,
yeah,
right?
There's a picture of Hillary Clinton hiking in Chappaqua. Some lady who was very upset was out hiking with her daughter and ran into Hillary Clinton. There's a picture of them.
Right.
And she looks like the nicest lady you'd ever want to meet. Like, why isn't that lady on the campaign trail? Why isn't that version of Hillary Clinton out there?
I guess we're going to get to predictions, but I think...
Oh, so, yeah,
I think,
just...
I think Obama disparaging Clinton's inherent insider government behavior in a primary is a lot different than Trump saying this guy doesn't even deserve to be a U.S. citizen and he doesn't even deserve to be U.S. president
so
and his whole presidency is illegitimate.
Totally whitewashed
not,
what he
not
said.
Not within the context of, you know, campaign speak being different from reality.
No, he's said
I agree with Jeremy, unfit
to be president. That was Barack Obama in 2008.
Right.
In the campaign.
And I kind of agreed with him. I mean, I was an Obama primary voter.
You agree with him, but you voted for her.
I had to choose.
I'm checking. You guys go ahead, and I'm going
to
sit over here and eat
minute.
My pizza. Because
back to
this,
the fifth minute.
This is
the
ponderous.
Fifth what did I say in the fifth minute?
I don't know what you said.
Well, you forgot.
I did.
Eat some pizza. What I said in the fifth minute is I said the chief reason had nothing to do with her fitness to be president is that I could not – I had to do everything in my little – bit of power to prevent what I think is down to the core a-hole of getting in there.
So you would rather have a person who's unfit to be president than an a-hole who
yes.
is fit to be president?
Yes. No, I think the a-hole in this
neither one of them are fit to be president.
Right. But I think I would rather have an insider work in the system than I would, which sounds awful. Then I would have somebody who I think his whole life, not just on the campaign trail, but his whole life is a life of...
What does it even mean to be fit to be president?
I don't know. I don't think anybody is
fit
to be
president.
Was W
fit to be president?
I mean...
No, he was...
Does it mean that they are an exemplary human being? Somebody that everyone in the country could look up to and try to model? Or does it just mean that they've been in the political system long enough, they know how it works, that they can get stuff done?
Neither of those.
So what does it mean?
It has no meaning. It is a term used by politicians, much like a lot of Trump's quotes that you were bringing up, to speak to a voter.
Have we had any presidents that were fit for
George
the office?
George Washington.
Okay.
I don't.
Anybody since then?
No.
All right.
I don't think that at all.
And I've had to question, and maybe I'm looking at my past in little rose-colored glasses, but I think, I mean, to me, I felt like in this election that if it was W, Romney, McCain, George H.W. Bush, all of those people, I would pick all of them over Hillary, and I wouldn't think twice about it. And again... you know how my promises go. But that's what it felt.
And
come on,
Romney was the worst guy ever when he was running against Barack Obama.
Maybe we need to go through the record. I never thought he was the worst guy ever. This is where I think you need to really think about it. You're trying to equate an opposition to a Republican candidate as an opposition to a McCain, an opposition to a Romney, and an opposition to a Trump. The way it feels to me is those...
So,
hold on. Those feel completely...
Oh.
Those feel completely different in my heart. Like, I didn't... I thought Obama was better than McCain. I thought Obama was better than Romney. But if I had to rank McCain, Romney, and Trump, they're not even close to each other. If Obama lost to Romney, I would have been like, hey, this is all right. Let's see how this goes. I wouldn't think, oh, my God, we got an a-hole in there. Do you see how they're not the same to me? Do you see how there's a difference?
I see how there's a difference, Rob.
Okay, that's good.
Well,
that's good.
I do.
Because I think a lot of people on the right, they're like, well, you just don't like Republicans. This feels different inside.
No, but there again, that was a very liberal thing you did just a minute ago. You were telling me what you feel is this.
No,
I'm tired of being told how I feel because my opinion turns into some feeling that they've ginned up, and that's ridiculous.